Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, October 30th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 13, the fifth paragraph that begins with "My friend promised," and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Martha M., who will be reading the 12 steps, Reggie O. will be reading the 12 traditions, and our readers of the text are Dion R., Jordan L., and Julie E.B. The share ID for Thursday, October 29th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 15,663. That's 15663. This morning's Friday, October 30th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time share ID is 15,669. That's 15669. Our newcomer greeter for today is Wendy B., and Betsy H. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Martha M. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. This is Martha M. from Connecticut. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I thank you for letting me do service. Have a wonderful day. I pass.
Thank you, Martha M. And Reggie O., good morning. If you'd read the 12 traditions, please.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning, everybody. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Excuse me. 11, boy, something just jumped in my throat. Just give me just a moment. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather. I'm going to have to take a drink of water. Let's see if this works. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Thank you, Richie O. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 13, the 5th paragraph that begins with "My friend promised." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Dion R. If you could get us started, please.
Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning. I'll be glad to do that service. Excuse me. My friend promised me this is Dion, compulsive overeater. I hope I said that right. My friend promised when these things were done, I would enter upon a new relationship with my Creator, that I would have the elements of a way of living which answered all my problems, believe in the power of God, plus enough willingness, honesty, humility to establish and maintain the new order of things were the essential requirements. So much I'm getting. I thought I was going to get something else, but just reading it out loud, it's something entirely different. And what I'm getting is this is the belief in a power. This is what I need to do, a new relationship. And, of course, we know we could call it whatever we need to at that time. It just had not be the same higher power I had in the past. That higher power was me. Even though I thought I had a higher power, it was still me running the show. So I had to believe in that power, right? Even if it was the same power from former. It says plus. This is the part I missed out on. Even after being years in the program and I got that belief in God or my higher power, it says plus the willingness, the honesty, and the humility. I didn't have that to establish and maintain a new way of living for me. And that is, they said, that's what it takes. How many times have you guys told me that in so many different ways in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous as well as other 12 steps? I thought I could be slit quick and cool and in finer, easier, softer way. And like me and another friend was saying, we wind up right back. Like my higher person, nope, you come right back. You know, made a 360-degree turnaround. Where'd you stop off? You got to come right back to step one, because I still have to surrender every day. I'm keep moving and showing people that I don't have the answer. And if you see changes in, which many have, and I thank them for saying that, but oh my God, get a credit to HP, because I tried to do it my way and fell in the food many times. And I had to find a new way of doing it, right, to get that new order of things. Not Dion's order. I want to order a hamburger or a cheeseburger. No, you're going to order the 12 steps and learn how to work with people and be quiet, you know. So carry the message, what was freely given to me. Y'all gave me jewels and diamonds when y'all gave me this program. And I don't take that for granted. I really don't. Most days I don't. And anyway, with that, I'm going to pass, Kathleen. That's all I got on it. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Bye. Thank you, Dion R. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on page 13, the fifth paragraph, who hasn't shared Wednesday or Thursday?
Christina J.
Cynthia C. Mary Ellen T.
Wait, hold on 1 second. My pen stopped for a second. Mary Ellen T. Christina J. And who came after Christina?
Cynthia C. Mary Ellen T.
Cynthia T, I think it was. And I got Mary Ellen. Oh, no, that was Mary Ellen T.
Diane A.
Okay, hold on. Diana A.
Mo H.
Mo H.
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB. Okay, let's stop there. So Christina J, Cynthia, I think it was C, Mary Ellen T, Diana A, Mo H, Sherry KB. So go ahead, please, Christina J.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service and everyone on the line today. Christina J in Bellingham, Washington. Grateful to be recovered today and still in recovery on the emotional and surrendering level, always, every day. Two words stuck out for me really this morning: maintain and humility. You know, I grew up learning how to control things, learning how to make things go my way. When I took a new job, I learned the job. I learned how to maintain it, how to do it perfectly. And I did that with all situations in my life. And so the only problem was when it came to eating diets, I never got to the maintenance phase of any diet. I was looking back at that today going, oh, my God, I never got to the Optifast maintenance phase. I never got to the Weight Watchers maintenance phase. I never got to any of those maintenance phases. As a matter of fact, Optifast was probably the longest program I made it through, white knuckling, hanging on like a cat scratching a hot tin roof. I mean, it was brutal. And as soon as I was done and I was thin, boy, I went back into the food like a shark after blood. So maintaining, this book gives me a program, a simple program of action to maintain this spiritual connection with the higher power that I always thought I had. But what was the problem? What was the block? I didn't have the humility. I didn't know I didn't have the humility. I looked up humility today, and there was a lot of things about humility, but the things that really stuck out to me were gratefulness. They take time to say thank you. That always brings me back to my higher power. That is a tool for me of the program, to be grateful every day for everything. I mean, I can get into my head and BS as easy as snapping a finger. But if I then pause and sit in gratefulness, I come back to the spirit within me that has awakened since I've been neutral around food and working the program. They accept feedback. Oh, boy. Humble people accept feedback. Can you believe it? You mean I don't know how to do everything? You got some feedback for me? Okay, that's humble. I can dig that. They assume responsibility. We take responsibility. We learn to discipline ourselves. If I don't have discipline in this program, if I don't work that relationship with the God that I've come to know and rely on, I'm going to lose it. It's like a marriage. If I don't work that relationship, that person's going to get lonely and fade back in the distance. I want God foremost and forefront in my driver's seat today. And the other one that really stuck out for me was they ask for help. Oh, my God. Part of being humble means realizing that you don't have all the answers. Are you kidding me? But that's what I've come to today. I'm not afraid to make the calls. I've learned to say thank you when I've been in the deepest, darkest pits. I've learned that I must discipline myself as soon as I wake up and my feet hit the floor, because sadly, I don't wake up jumping out of bed going, oh, it's a new day. Thank you, God. I'm ready to begin. I wake up sort of depressed and like, oh, my God, I've lost my connection. So this program gives me an outline of how to do all these things. It has the elements of the way of living which keep me connected, and that simple belief in this power greater than myself. I'm so grateful. Oh, my God, it's so wonderful to have that. It's not always white clouds and floating pink tutus, but it's reality, life on life terms. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. And Cynthia C., right? You're up next, followed by Mary Ellen T.
I was unmuting. Did you call Cynthia C?
I did. Thanks, Cynthia.
Thank you so much. Thank you, moderator. Thank you to everybody who makes this meeting possible today and every day. I love on Fridays being able to get onto the 10 a.m. meeting here. And so it's Cynthia C. from Newton, Massachusetts. There's a couple of Cynthia C.'s from Massachusetts. I love this passage and just about every single passage in the big book. You know, this program has absolutely 100% given me a new relationship with my higher power. Absolutely. You know, when I came back into program after a 20-year relapse, I was miserable and angry, and I didn't think I had needed you all, and I did everything I could do to stay away from the 12-step rooms because I didn't need that. I think I thought I was better than all of you. And I was miserable and fat and unhappy and angry all the time and resentful and irritable. And maybe at times I looked good from the outside, but I was miserable on the inside. And working the 12 steps of this program, going through the 12 steps as quickly as possible, working the 12 steps as if my hair was on fire with a sponsor who she had learned to go through the steps with, a big book sponsor, you know, that changed everything in my life. You know, I still have challenges and I still have problems. I will say one of the gifts is that far fewer of those problems are of my own making today. I think when I came into program, so many, not all, but many, many of the problems that I had in my life and the challenges I had in my life were of my making because I only knew how to live in a crisis. And today, that's not the case. Today, through working the 12 steps, I've cleared away the debris. I've turned it over to my sponsor. I've asked, you know, I've become willing and asked my higher power to lift my defects of character. And he hasn't lifted all of them, but, you know, there's still things I need to learn from some of them, I think. You know, and I made a list of people I've harmed, and I made amends to as many of them as I could possibly make. And you know, I've cleared away, with the help of my higher power and my sponsor and people in program, I've cleared away the debris. And so today, you know, I get to sit every morning and every night, hopefully during the day, in a little bit of silence and a little bit of quiet. And when I have that quiet, when I do my prayer meditation in the morning and at night, I get to bookend my day by connecting in with my higher power. That belief that my higher power is involved in every aspect of my life. And I've just really have been focusing a lot on acceptance and surrender. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of fighting the challenges that come up in my life. And I think those challenges have become harder because I still fight and resist and try to get my own way. And that's just exhausting, you know. The longer I'm in program, it's almost like, you know, peeling off the layers, I think about the movie Shrek, peeling off the layers of the onion, you know, like peeling off the layers of the onion and letting go more and more and getting closer to my higher power. With all of that, I pass and thank you so much for your service today. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you, Cynthia C. Good morning, Mary Ellen T. You are up next, followed by Diana A.
Good morning. My name is Mary Ellen T, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater calling from Corvallis, Oregon. And thanks so much for your service work. To maintain the new order of things, is one of those phrases that runs through my head, and I believe I've used it as a password before. Those phrases really help to remind me about, you know, who I am now and the new thoughts that are supposed to be running through my head as I spend more time in program and as I've changed and as the other speaker talked about, pulling back those layers of the onion and realizing what my recovery means and requires out of me. And so I think about, you know, what is it that I'm doing to maintain the new order, but also knowing, too, that I have to grow in my spirituality as well, that I can't just rest. So what's the difference between those two? And as I think on it, I think, like, maintaining the new order of things for my life has been, you know, that the difference of how I used to live before I got into program, that I was, you know, kind of unruly and always a little bit of the maverick and the renegade, wanting to do things my way and not caring if I, you know, took a little bit off of this and a little bit of out of that and kind of lived basically in a dishonest way. And as I've peeled back more layers of the recovery onion and learned more about myself, maintaining the new order for me has been about living a life with more structure and self-discipline through the help of you all and all the magical words that you say and all of those phrases from the big book that are just so profound. But, you know, investing in my recovery. I'm getting up earlier in the morning time. I spend time with higher power. I get down on my knees and I admit my powerlessness and I ask for help. I think about what my relationship ideals are going to be for the day and I ask higher power into my day throughout the day. And so I realize that, you know, I have the big book gives me the principles of how I'm going to maintain the new order of living for myself, but then also it gives me some guidance on how I'm going to continue to grow and flourish and develop. And I just love listening to what y'all say because it reminds me, how am I growing? How am I maintaining that structure that my recovery needs? And that's all I'm going to share. Thanks for everything y'all do.
Thank you, Mary Ellen T. Okay, Diana A., it is your turn, followed by Mo H.
Hi, my name is Diane A. I'm from Oregon, Ohio, and I was really excited to be able to share on this little passage today. I was up for the 7 a.m. meeting, and this literally got me out of bed. Of course, I look at being as recovered compulsive overeater that at this place where, you know, I've turned my life and will over and God's busy doing for me what I can't do for myself or couldn't. There are days I wake up, even though I turn it over to him and I say, oh, Lord, I've got a pulse. You must have a purpose for me and get busy with on awakening and all those things. I can still have my day feel like it's full of trepidation, like, oh, what in the world have you got lined up for me today? Or what is it that I went out and bought and lined up for myself for today? And when I heard that this morning, I was literally off, you know, out of bed on my knees doing the usual prayer meditation things I'm doing. And I found that it just gives me so much energy that this new order of things are His order for me, that when I ask to be willing to do whatever it is going to make me of maximum service to Him and others, some days I think, oh, what can that possibly be? And just to be able to trust that, just go ahead with it, Diane. Just get out of bed and get going here. And what a lift for the day. I mean, within a few hours here, without frantic energy, I have found myself doing what I believe is supposed to be God's will for me, and chatting with the neighbor, unloading the van, getting things ready to go for the day, finishing up a few little things here and there that I actually felt like, oh, I was weighed down. But when I give that day over to God, and I trust that He does have a purpose for me, even if it's not Mother Teresa or somebody super important that the whole world knows about, but that humbly, that I'm in a willing, honest, and teachable state. My sponsor told me years ago that humility means to be teachable. So I have to be in that spot. God, teach me, show me what I need to do. And then the beauty of it is when a sponsee calls or sends a text this morning about something she's so full of joy over in her new transformation, that says it all. That's the new order of things for me in my life. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Diane A. Okay, good morning, Mo. It's your turn, followed by Sherry KB.
Hey, thanks, Kathleen, for your service. Good to hear your voice and everyone else on the line. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. Wow, all these paragraphs just blow me away. But this paragraph is what we have. We have promises here. You know, I would enter upon a new relationship with my Creator. The first sentence, I was promised when these things were done. New relationship with my Creator. That's the word that stuck out to me, was new. My relationship with my higher power, God, as I called him early on in the program, was the same one I had in my religion. He was there. I was here. I didn't connect. It was Sundays. It was grace before meals. It was maybe prayers at bedtime. Didn't do ones, you know, just every so often. But this big book is written. The purpose of the big book is for us to find a power greater than ourselves. The whole thing is having us zoom in and connect with that power, not just when I want that power or need it or asking something for myself, but just all the time, all the time. And that happened for me probably about 5 years ago, 2015, when I was on my knees, you know, into the disease really bad, and I was desperate. And I realized that my relationship with my higher power that I had really wasn't a very solid connection. So when I got that, and it's there with me all the time, and I was talking with my sponsor about, in the 11th step, it says, what can we pack into the stream of life? I said to her, I don't understand what that means, packing into the stream of life. What does that mean? Doing more things? And she said, no. This was her interpretation of that. It's maybe different for others. And it made sense to me, was it's interweaving God program into all my activities. We become one. So as I go through the day, and I'm lost, and, you know, that's happening for me a lot since the loss of my husband. I find myself lost. I have a picture of my husband in the living room, and I just look at that, and then I just connect. I just say, please guide me to what's the next right action. And so this paragraph, again, is very powerful, as they all are. So for me, it's new. I have a new relationship with my higher power that's very loving and kind, always there, always ready to be supportive of me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Kathleen, and thanks, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Mo H. Okay, Sherry KB, you are up next. And after Sherry, we are going to be taking more names for page 13, the fifth paragraph. So good morning, Sherry KB.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Thank you for your service this morning at Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Kathleen and Team Friday, and welcome newcomers and everybody on the line. I love this paragraph. I know that we're having to pull back and share every 3 days, and so I'm really picky. Getting really picky about the paragraphs I want to share on, and this is definitely one of them. And, for me, all of this is so beautiful, but what kept jumping out at me today was essential requirements. I mean, because, I don't know, we're hearing a lot about essential lately in this year of life, and what does it mean to me by essential? It's like, I've got to have this. It's important. I can't do without it. I need this. And what it is I need God. I need God in everything that I do. Throughout this book, it always talks about, God isn't everything, or God isn't what's your choice to be. And each time I do this work and I work the steps, I'm having a new experience. And that's what's happening for me. I'm learning that, you know, as I was always asking God to let me be abstinent, now I'm asking God to please take my self-will, please take my ego, and I have to turn it over every day throughout the day. It's not just in the morning, and, you know, I have to do it throughout the day, and so it's essential that I do that in order to keep in fit spiritual condition. And so part of that for me is implementing it in a way in my life that works for me in my daily life. And how do I do that? And it's individual for all of us, but it's essential. And so for me, I deal in water a lot. I don't know about you, but I do. So whenever I'm dealing in water, whichever that is for you, I ask God in. I think about God when I'm washing my hands, taking a shower, various things throughout the day that I'm touching water, drinking water. I'm doing that, and I'm seeing a really shift in my thinking because it's essential that I put God first and not Sherry's will and not Sherry's ego. And I'm treating my self-will and ego like putting down the food the way I put down the food, thanks to God. I'm putting down my ego and my self-will, and God's coming first. And so that includes for me the set-aside prayer and the how prayers. And there's three prayers in the how prayers. You know, God, help me to be honest with myself and you. God, help me to keep an open mind and to do things differently. And God, help me to be willing to be willing. And, you know, I'm having an experience, which is amazing to me. And it is essential if I want to stay abstinent and stay recovered from this disease. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Okay, we are on page 13, the fifth paragraph that begins with, "My friend promised." And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Janice.
Larry G.
I heard Janice.
Janice,
what?
Thank you.
Janice, okay, hold on. I'm backing up here, you guys. Janice, what was the first initial of your last name?
Janice PM, because there's another Janice. So
Janice PM, okay.
You got
and
it.
I got
Thank
Larry.
You.
Great, thanks, Janice. I got Larry G.
Eileen B.
Laura T. Eileen B.
Samia S.
What was that again?
Samia S.
Domia S.
Laura T.
Laura T.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, let's stop there. And sorry if I missed anybody in there. I have Janice PM, Larry G, Eileen B, Soma S, Laura T, and Jordan L. So go ahead, please, Janice.
And thank you so much. And please time me because I may go on. That first sentence, "My friend promised when these things were done." First of all, notice that the word "friend" is not capitalized because it's capitalized up further in step three. Because he's not talking about God, he's talking about Ebby coming to him and promising because he experienced this whole thing. And, of course, it was the six tenants at the time. It wasn't yet 12. But my friend promised when these things were done. What things? The 12 steps. When they were done doesn't mean when they were read, not when they were heard at a meeting through osmosis. There had to be some work done. They had to do these steps. They had to practice the principles in these steps, not just thinking about them. And it's not through osmosis, not just sitting here at a meeting like I did for years and, you know, went through them and always say, yeah, I know about that one. It's not through osmosis. This is the way it's going to be action that we find the power. And this is the first part. This really describes the first part of step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening. This is the only way that I know that these things promised to us can happen, because they happened to me. And when I practiced these 12 principles, like was said, I had a creator. I had an idea of the creator, and I did the best I can. But this new creator has become a companion for me because I can always depend upon this companion. I can always trust this companion. I can always rely on this companion because you know as well as I do that, you know, we relied on other things, maybe money or men or women or humans or whatever it is. But, you know, it's this companion, this power, which is new. I mean, this is new for me. And, you know, this is not done, and this is not a suggestion. This is an essential requirement. This is the only way that I know. And this is even, the food is down by this time. We're not even talking about food. We're talking about a way of living. How do I go through, like Mo, through the death of my husband 2 years ago? How do I go through diagnosis of having cancer or anything like that that most of us have, calamities? How do we go through that? Well, this is the only way that I found and experienced having had a spiritual awakening. And then this can happen to you. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice PM. Okay, Larry G., you're up next, followed by Eileen B.
Good morning. My name's Larry G. I'm from Northern California, and thank you, Team Friday. I don't really know what Bill meant by maintaining. I don't maintain my abstinence. I maintain my car, but I don't maintain my abstinence. I'm not even the same person I was a couple of days ago. I was so inspired by the call the other day on people separating from not only their alcoholic foods, but also alcoholic food behaviors. And I have a sponsor, and she is not a warm and fuzzy sponsor. She's as tough on me as my AA sponsor is. And she's held the truth about really what entire abstinence means. And I'm finally to the point where, I am absent from my red light foods, my alcoholic foods, but I am not absent from compulsive food behaviors. I could not see the truth from the false when it came to a piece of chicken falling on the counter off my plate and putting that in my mouth. I could not see the truth from the false driving down the street, stopping at a sorted place, checking in that I'm changing my plan of eating, having a green light food as not compulsive food behavior. I'm so sick and tired of my thinking around this, and I'm so ready. I surrendered yesterday, and I wrote a 10-step, which I'm going to give to my sponsor tonight. And I just feel like I'm ready. I'm ready finally in my recovery to be entirely absent, not only from alcoholic foods, but compulsive food behaviors. And thank God, you know, for this passage that we have a new relationship with a higher power today, because I believe without my higher power, I would have never got this point, because I am a bullshit artist. I've refined the art of alibi. And my sponsor once told me, he said, Larry, you know, what you should do is make a career change. You ought to go and become a prosecuting attorney, because you've got more arguments than anybody I've ever seen in my life. And you know what? I'm so tired of all this that I'm just giving up. And if that's maintaining my sobriety, maintaining my absence, so it be. Thank you very much. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you, Larry G. And Eileen B., you're up next, followed by Samia S.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Eileen B., a gratefully recovered bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. My friend promised me that if I do these things, so it's not an unconditional promise. So many things in this paragraph. For me, I hold on to the promises as if dear life. But in this particular paragraph, it says, if we do these things, if we stay connected if we're in fit spiritual condition. And how do I get in fit spiritual condition? First of all, I don't fall back on self-reliance. I gotta stay connected to my power. And the only way to do it is to follow the steps, to engage in prayer and meditation, to seek out my Daddy God, who is my God of my understanding, a loving understanding, forgiving, accepting higher power. And for me, I'm lazy. And when things are going well, it's really easy to fall back into carelessness. You know, you just kind of let go. So for me right now, I'm going through a very scary, difficult time in my life. And at this point, I choose to be grateful for the gift of desperation. And hopefully I will just reach out to my Daddy God daily, hold on to him as if my life depended on it, because it does. But I just pray that when things are going well, that I remember and that I stay diligent with regard to my spiritual life. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Eileen D. And Somia S., you're up, followed by Laura T. Somia, can you star one to unmute, please?
Okay. Here I am. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you, everyone on the line, especially Vision and OA and the message, the very clear, concise message that I hear. I just finished the most thorough and profound step two experience that I've ever had in my career of chronic relapsing. And I just really, truly understood the need for a higher power or another way other than the way I had been doing things. And coming from a very strong religious background, what stuck out to me in this paragraph was my creator. You know, I knew that I had a relationship with God and power and all these other things, and that has been totally set aside at this point. So I had to cling on to something that I knew wouldn't change. So I know I've been created by something, whatever that being is. I need that being to come to my aid at this point. So, and then I also realized my perception of that power is what needs to change. The power, you know, it doesn't change. It's still who it is, whether I believe in it, whether I don't believe it. But my perception of that power or God or my creator affects me. It affects how I operate in this life. It affects me getting recovery, how I treat my fellows and myself. So that's what needs adjustment. And that's what is being promised, that I would have a new order of things. And I like the, it says that I need enough willingness, honesty, and humility to establish and maintain a lot of things that I wanted to do in the past. I never had enough willingness or enough honesty to maintain those things. So I also love the fact that this is all about my experience. It's not what other people told me it should be or what other people tried to convince me it should be. This is all my personal experience based on the actions that I'm taking. These steps that I'm taking is bringing a new concept of a higher power into view. So for that, I am so grateful. Thank you, everyone that's on the line. And again, my name is Samia S. in Delaware, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Samia S. Okay, Laura T. and Jordan L., we have about, if you could both take about 2.5 minutes, we might get you both in. So go ahead, please, Laura T.
Hello, I'm Laura T., compulsive overeater in Cleveland, Ohio. I have to say I'm so excited to share today. I have been listening to A Vision for You for a while, but I never get to go to the live meetings. I always listen to the recordings, so I am just feel like a little kid on Christmas. I'm all excited to be on live with you guys. And I do want to say thank you for all of your service. Your meetings and everyone's shares mean so much to me, and they have really, really helped me. To get to the paragraph, I underlined essential requirements, and I wrote in the margins that they're not suggestions. I had a relationship with my higher power before coming into OA, but I always felt like there was something missing. And then you read, you know, earlier in the sentence about having enough willingness, honesty, humility. I really think those were missing from my relationship with him. I just wanted him to do everything for me, to keep it nice and easy, keep me comfortable, and I didn't want to have to put in any of the work. Coming to OA, getting these steps, getting into the big book, like, I feel like my relationship with my higher power has just flourished, and I finally see what I was missing, and it's just, it's thrilling, it's exciting, and I actually feel closer, and I feel so much better than I did before, and I'm very thankful for that. So, again, thank you, everyone, for your service, and thank you so much for letting me share a path.
Thank you, Laura T. Okay, Jordan L., good morning. It's your turn.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen. my name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in chilly Gunnison, Colorado. And grateful to be on the line and abstinent with you guys this morning. what jumped out for me today was belief in the power of God. and I did, I had a belief in God before I got here, for sure. And it might have even been like, well, it probably was. It was a pretty powerful God. There was some power there for sure, but it was a pretty negative relationship, and I like that I love that it mentions a relationship earlier in the paragraph, because that for me that has been the key to this. That it, number one, it had to be a positive relationship. There had to be like some good warm fuzzy feelings in there. Luckily coming into Overeaters Anonymous this time around, I ran into there were people that were put in my path that were willing to extend their hands and hearts to me very early on, and I got to see the power of God through them. I got to see the power of a positive relationship with my Creator through them. And I started to understand what that meant. And this, of course, like it says, the requirements for this were willingness, honesty, and humility. Or if you're not familiar with what humility means, I wasn't familiar with what humility means when I came in here. It's open-mindedness, but that's the other essential requirement at this point to establish what it is that we found here. And then after we establish it, we have to find a way to maintain it. And like I said, establishing it for me was a lot of other people in this program showing me how it was that this looks. You know, like just watching their example, observing their example, and then practicing as they did. and then when I get into the maintenance, it's much more about quiet time with that Creator, and listening to what it is that Creator has in store for me. So I'm very grateful to be here and to have found this. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jordan. Jordan L. in Gunnison, Colorado. Okay, so I just lost my spot here. Sorry, guys. Okay, we are now
going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. And Jordan L., if you could come back and read that for us, please. Thanks.
Of course. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.